Country Club FM.
Bob Almanac, today we're starting it out. It is a Bob Almanac salute.
I was bewildered. I really was bewildered about what was happening out there on the field in front of my eyes. And the magnitude of it never really set in until after he had lined up and kicked the field goal.
Smith comes to the ball. There is the boot. It's flying downfield and it's good.
Legendary head coach Don Shula. That's him commenting on the infamous snowplow game in New England. Patriots were cheating even back in the early 80s.
Yeah,
getting furloughed prisoners out on their tractor to clear a way for them to kick a game-winning field goal. Don Shula passed away at the age of 90. We got news
of
that yesterday. The all-time winningest coach in NFL history. 347 victories. That's going to be tough to reach. Maybe Belichick. I don't know where Belichick is. Is he over 300 yet?
I would think so.
So he could catch
it. He's been doing it for 20 years.
Longevity with coaches now just doesn't happen
that
much. Not very often. But Don Shula passing away. And, of course, he beat the Vikings. The year before that, they went 17-0. They had the undefeated season. And the year after that, they made it back-to-back Super Bowls. Who did they beat the first time? The Redskins?
I think it was.
Is that the one where Garo Yepremian tried to throw a pass?
Yep.
And it got picked off.
Ill-advised.
And was that the Redskins' only touchdown in that game, in that Super Bowl?
I thought it was 14-7.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, because of the Dolphins. So that would be their only touchdown then.
Yes.
If the Dolphins beat them 14-7. So Don Shula won two Super Bowls with the Dolphins. Goodbye, Don Shula.
Yeah, he a legacy. I mean, his sons, coach and offensive coordinators, and the quarterbacks that he had, Greasy and Marino, and there's others.
Don't forget Don Strock.
Don, how can you forget
David Woodley?
Don Strock, Earl Morrill.
Yeah. James Kick. Is it James Kick?
Jimmy Kick.
Paul Warfield.
Yeah, Mercury Morris.
Larry Zonka.
They had them all.
Please. So Tuesday, May 5th, 126th day of the year, it's Teacher Appreciation Day. And boy, do we need to appreciate the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They thought their job was tough. We thought their job was tough just being in the classroom dealing with kids. This online stuff, I know, has really been a challenge. And they're working through it because they have the kids.
Right.
Top of their mind.
Yeah.
Their main goal is to educate our youth, and they're doing a great job. Despite the difficult circumstances here. So Teacher Appreciation Day, maybe the most important Teacher Appreciation Day of all time.
It could be.
1809, our patent of the day. It's the first patent ever to go to a woman. It was for a technique for weaving straw with silk and thread. This date, 1809. How about 1862, the Battle of Puebla? You know, we haven't mentioned Cinco de Mayo.
No, today is the day.
That's two... national holidays, I don't want to say ethnic holidays, I don't know what you would call them, what they'd fall into, because we miss St. Patrick's Day, which is an Irish holiday,
right.
And then now Cinco de Mayo, which is a Mexican holiday because of the Battle of Puebla, celebrated here today, 1862. Yeah. That's, for a lot of restaurants, for the Irish pubs, that was big for St. Patrick's Day. They lost a lot of money there, and now I'm sure the Mexican restaurants and eateries and cantinas are going to struggle now because this will be a big day for them, no doubt. A big, 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 big letter day.
Hope but, a lot of people at least carry out.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah,
get some chimichangas to go.
Yep.
1821, former French ruler, Napoleon Bonaparte, the original Napoleon. He was short, he had the Napoleon complex. He was the first one to have Napoleon complex, because he knew he was Napoleon,
right.
And he was short.
He
died on this day, living in exile. The island of St. Helena off the coast of Africa. Tried to take over the world a couple of times.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
He was the Emperor of French there for many, many years. At least he had France. At least we'll always have France. As he said, probably on his deathbed. And then 1922, construction began on Yankee Stadium in New York City. And contrary to the popular belief, Babe Ruth was not there with a shovel or a wheelbarrow or a trowel. He wasn't even the foreman on the project, even though they say it's the house that Ruth built.
Yeah,
I don't think he laid a finger.
I don't think he pounded a nail.
Or laid a brick or anything like that. 1922. He put people in the seats.
He did indeed.
He forced them to expand it once they acquired his rights.
He put baseballs in the seats, and yeah, he did.
So that was 1922. 1925, you're a little bit of a Scopes historian, aren't you? The Scopes monkey trial.
Yeah.
You have studied this over several years and several symposiums. Didn't you teach a symposium? Didn't you used to teach a class at Anoka Ramsey Community College?
I actually,
on the Scopes monkey trial, or did that not go through?
It wasn't a symposium. I organized a think tank.
A think tank?
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. You really hoodwinked them, didn't you? So that was this date that John T. Scopes, the teacher in Dayton, Tennessee, was arrested because he was teaching Darwin's theory of evolution in violation of the state statute, which said he had, you know, you can't teach that. You have to teach creationism.
The biblical.
Yes, which is known as creationism. So that was theory of creation or creationism? 1925. 1956, this in the news.
No man has ever run the 4-minute mile on an American track, but astonishing the big crowd, Bailey fights off every Landy challenge to win in 3:58.6 seconds.
Nice.
Landy finishes a stride behind as both men better the 4-minute mark.
Nobody remembers John Landy. They only remember Jim Bailey. But Landy was also inside of 4 minutes. It was a great ending to the race here in Los Angeles on this date.
So nobody had ever done it, and then two guys did it.
Yeah. Was it wind-aided? That's the question. Yeah. But 1956, Jim Bailey became the first runner to break 4-minute mile in the United States. What they call it now? They call it intelligent design. Creationism.
Oh,
is one of the terms they use, intelligent design. So that was in 56, 61. Let's go up to the stratosphere.
The flight trajectory is still A-OK. The pilot is in good voice communication with Mercury Control.
Kevin, your fuel is go, 4G, 5.5, Kevin. Oxygen, go. All systems are go.
The voice of Alan B. Shepard and Master Control there in Houston. Cape Canaveral, maybe they're in Florida, I don't know. But it was the Freedom 7 capsule. As Alan B. Shepard became our first ever space traveler. 15 minutes suborbital flight on this date. What was that, 1961? How about in 73?
Now and there in the stretch, it's Secretariat. Secretariat on the outside to take the lead. Sham holding in second. It's Secretariat moving away. He has it by 2.5. Sham, then on the outside, our native. At the wire, it's going to be Secretariat. He wins it by 2 lengths. Sham is second. Our native.
Secretariat wins it.
One leg down.
Yeah, yep. First leg. He would win the other 2 legs and would win the Triple Crown 1973. Ron Turcott.
In the irons.
Yes, indeed.
As we like to say.
In 86, Cleveland, Ohio, announced as the site of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum, and people go, why Cleveland? Well, you know, that's where Alan Freed on the radio coined the phrase rock and roll.
That's right.
He was on the radio in Cleveland.
In the 50s.
Yes, in 1986 is when they announced the site. They inducted their first, probably the greatest class, Hall of Fame class of all time, 86. I mean, it was so packed with Elvis and Chuck Berry and Ray Charles and Buddy Holly. I mean, Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds didn't even have a chance. 1987, the Iran-Contra hearings began. How about 94? Let's go to the desk of Larry King.
I'm buckled like this, and he's whipping it as he's going on each step. And
can you hear the whip?
And yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
And on the third step, he strikes, and he cuts open your buttocks.
And there's a lot of pain.
Did you catch that? He cuts open your buttocks. Did you hear that?
I did.
The haze and the hiss from Larry and the sound of Larry King's suspenders snapping back and forth. Sometimes you can't hear the guest. But Michael Fay was caned on this date. That was the voice of Michael Fay. He was the American teenager who was in Singapore. He spray-painted some cars and did some graffiti.
Yeah.
And they sentenced him to caning.
Talk about that, firing your glutes.
And you know what? When it comes to the caning, you know, crime is down in Singapore. They have low crime rate because you get caned.
Yeah. It's not something I'd want
to. I think he was supposed to get 6, and they reduced it down to 4, which still had to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
1999.
Ladies and gentlemen, the artist of the decade, Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks was named Artist of the Decade, 34th Annual ACM Awards on this date. That's Jay Leno and There's nothing sillier.
Didn't see that coming.
There's nothing sillier than Jay Leno being dressed up kind of in country garb as a cowboy. It just didn't seem fit. Jay Leno announces Garth Brooks. I believe Clint Black was seen peeling out of the parking lot in a huff. He thought he was going to get it.
Yeah, it was close.
Garth gets it 1999 and then 2009.
5 months ago, thanks to a donor, she would once again have the chance to try to look in a mirror and see a face. She says, despite the difficulty of the surgery, she put herself in the hands of the brilliant surgeons at the Cleveland Clinic.
So this was this day, 2009, first ever face transplant surgery. Connie Culp, a woman whose husband shot her in the face.
Ooh.
And she got this face transplant in Cleveland, this date, 2009. And she lived to tell Diane Sawyer about it.
I guess.
And she's still with us today, I do believe. So that was 2009. Now we need to move on to birthdays.
Okay.
Now, then, you're here because you have a thing for this human, this prince fellow. Not that I blame you. He is quite a catch, isn't he?
Little Mermaid was all the rage.
Yes.
In the 1990s. Early 90s, the movie... And it was huge. And Pat Carroll, who played Ursula, her voice was Ursula. She was the sea witch.
She sounded like a witch.
She
there
did.
To me.
She did. I'd love to see her battle the sea hag from Popeye.
Right.
But Pat Carroll, the actress, voice actress, comedian, 93, here today. Let's hear something from Monty Python.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I eat my lunch, I go to the laboratory.
Michael Palin, 77, he is a lumberjack, and good to know he's still okay.
Yes.
At the age of 77. He's in the Dead Parrot, the Monty Python classic Dead Parrot skit as well. He's the store. He's the pet store owner.
Song starts to wander a little bit as you get into it.
Well, that's Monty Python for
so
you.
Good.
They're
so
trying to make good. You think. It's yep. intelligent humor, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Michael Palin, 77. Anytime Indiana Jones ended up in the Mideast, he needed this guy's help.
The dog? You are named after the dog?
Got a lot of fond memories of that dog.
He's Sala. Remember, he saved Indy from eating a poison date.
He did.
Bad dates. He's Sala, and he's John Reese Davies, yes. 76 here. Who else we have? We have Kurt Loder. He reports on music news. Here's a report from MTV.
Crashed up on the giant Zoo TV video monitors the band is carrying around on tour this time out. Lead singer Bono asked the crowd if it felt like having pizza, got an affirmative response, and picked up a phone to order 10,000 pies with extra pepperoni. He eventually settled for 100 pizzas, which meant that no one left the show feeling too full, and tipped the three delivery men $50 on the $525 order.
Bono, what a horrible tipper. A 500, that's only a 10%
tip.
That's a 10% tip. Do the math there, Bono.
Did he tip each of them $50, though? I think he said.
Did he say? Do you think so? We'll have to listen back to that.
It might be, yeah.
Maybe it was. It was $50 to...
I thought he said three delivery guys.
Three delivery. Well, then that's $150.
That's better.
That's better. Because 100 would then be the 20%.
Right.
As you know. You're good at math, yeah. I think. Larry Heisel, former Twin.
Really?
Left us after, Rod Carew's MVP season. I think he left after 77.
Yeah.
Signed with the Milwaukee Brewers. He was a run producer.
He was. He drove in a lot of runs.
Calvin Griffith. Calvin Griffith didn't want to pay him, though.
No.
And
no.
He's 73 today. What time is it?
TV theme time.
She was Amy, the civilian news reporter, newspaper reporter and writer that would help out the A-team.
Oh, yeah.
First couple of seasons of the show. Melinda Kalea. Is 65. You also may remember her from Knott's Landing. Happy birthday. Brian Williams. He liked to misremember.
He did.
But then, 5 years ago today, a plane landed in the Hudson River here in New York City. And Captain Brian Williams was hailed as a hero for his perfect emergency landing. We have witnessed a test of human skill and endurance, really unlike any other. Brian Williams completed what's been roundly described as the most difficult free climb in the world.
I got to thank Conan and his crew.
That's pretty good.
For a little help with that comedic bit. NBC Newsman. Is he back on NBC or is he on CBC, NBC?
MSNBC.
You know what? Yes. After he did the misremember thing and was demoted from the nightly news, they should have put him on the shopping channel. That should have been as far as he went.
Yeah,
that's where they should have put him, really, because that was pretty sad.
That was
but
sad.
Brian Williams, 61, but we all misremember, right? Just ask Roger Clemens.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
it's a very nice woolen, all-purpose, practical gift.
It's a hat. I made it myself.
Shh, no kidding. That's great. I wish I had a hat like that.
You do.
Oh, it was Christmas morning. At the Keatons, Family Ties, Tina Yothers, who played Jennifer Keaton on the program, Family Ties. Do you remember Jennifer Keaton, Neil?
She was the youngest.
She was the youngest. Little blonde, she was the youngest, yeah. With blonde. Gee, yeah. She's 47.
Wow.
Holy cow. The current Superman.
I believe in truth. But I'm also a big fan of justice.
Steppenwolf didn't have a chance, and why Justice League was fighting an aging rock group from the 60s and 70s, I don't know.
Yeah.
In Justice League, they're fighting Steppenwolf.
Right.
But there's Henry Cavill, he's the current Superman. He's actually a British actor playing Superman, which I kind of have a problem with. George Reeves or Christopher Reeve, they were American.
Right.
They were United States citizens. Henry Cavill is British, but he does a nice job. I mean, he certainly has the look, don't you think?
He does. He does.
He's 37. Ever rolled in the deep?
I don't think so. I considered it, but then thought better of it.
I know our dogs have rolled in the dung.
Right. Or the deep doo-doo.
On the farm. So Adele, 32, and as soon as she came out, everybody tried to sound like Adele. I mean, all of the singing contest shows, your idols, your whatevers.
Sure.
They all sounded like Adele. That's when we stopped watching it. Not that I didn't like Adele, just everybody tried to be a copycat.
Yeah.
So 32 for Adele today. Happy birthday. Very talented.
Gone but not forgotten. Where would we be without communism? The founder was Karl Marx.
That's
so
a controversial comment.
Yes, it is. Born on this day, 1818. Freeman Gosden, he was one half of Amos and Andy, the popular program on radio, and then it went to TV eventually, movies. Freeman Gosden, 1899. Tyrone Power, remember that actor?
I must please ask you to change the subject. His Excellency objects to talk of throat cutting.
Back to Popinjay. I've no reason to letting you live either.
What a pleasant coincidence. I feel exactly the same way about you, Capitan.
Do you remember when Tyrone Power faced Basil Rathbone?
I do. I've seen that movie.
In Zorro.
Yes. This what, would be, what, Basil when I, Rathbone, you know, was Sherlock Holmes for all those other movies.
When I say the word swashbuckler, do you think of Tyrone Power?
Yes, I do.
I think of you, actually.
Well, you're right.
You swing from a lot of chandeliers, don't you, with your sword?
Not that often. Tyrone Power was born on this day in 1913. What about R&B singer Johnny Taylor?
So probably his best known song is Disco Lady. We played that a week or two ago, remember?
Yeah.
Disco Lady, move it in, move it out, Disco Lady. This one here, a little more funky from the 60s. Not disco, but funk. And I know when you were young, you so wanted to grow an afro.
I did.
Just like Johnny Taylor.
It just wasn't in the cards.
You didn't have the hair for it.
I didn't. I really didn't.
And you still don't, unfortunately.
No, I don't.
I hate to pass the bad news to you. There's no afro in your future.
I would need the chia pet green stuff.
That would work.
That was 1934. And what about the great Tammy Wynette?
Just follow the stairway to this lonely world of mine.
Quite a career.
You'll find me waiting here
for the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Apartment number 9.
She lived in apartment number 9.
And that was her first release.
Tammy Wynette, of course, we lost her. You know, rather tragically, the former, many called her the, you know, you think of Loretta Lynn, Tammy Wynette, And then Reba McEntire and Dolly. I mean, are they the Mount Rushmore, maybe, of ladies in country? Tammy Wynette, 1942, and they're gone, but not forgotten.
Don't forget Patsy Cline.
And Patsy. It's just her career was so short.
Your staff, yeah, but the impact she had on it, though, think about that for
pretty
a moment.
Impressive.
Your staff didn't forget anybody today or miss anybody.
Well,
that's amazing.
That is good.
Would you like to start a Bobathon with Mary Chapin Carpenter, Passionate Kisses? We could go Oak Ridge Boys, I Guess It Never Hurts to Hurt Someone, Somehow, Somewhere. Or Kenny Chesney, Living in Fast Forward.
I'll go ladies first today.
KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1.